Blog Talk Radio.
To me, okay? To me. Ultimately, martial art means honestly expressing yourself. Now, it is very difficult to do. I mean, it is easy for me to put on a show and be cocky.
Yeah.
And be flooded with a cocky feeling and then feel like pretty cool and all that. Or I can make all kinds of phony things, you see what I mean, blinded by it. Or I can show you some really fancy movement. But to express oneself honestly, not lying to oneself, and to express myself honestly, now that, my friend, is very hard to do. And you have to train. You have to keep your reflexes so that when you want it, it's there. The expression of the human body. I mean, everything. I mean, you know, not just the hand. And when you're talking about combat, well, I mean, if it is a sport, now you're talking about something else. You have regulations, you have rules. But when you're talking about fighting as it is,
no rules.
With no rules,
not real fighting.
Well, then, baby, you better train every part of your body.
I'm not surprised, mother.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
What's up? Where you at, George?
I like Big Dumb McCartney pulling me about, folks. That's how I like to roll. You feel me?
Nobody gonna take this bet.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm proud for fighting with you. For you.
Don't bring the dog out of me.
I'm the man of the hour, Joe. Too sweet to be sour. What you see is what you get, and what you don't is better yet.
I fight for the fans.
I wanted to keep fighting as long as it took, and I wanted to win this title. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I did it.
I don't have much left to say other than you have seen nothing yet.
Running water never grows stale, so you got to just keep on flowing.
Aloha, Penn Nation. You're now tuned in to yet another edition of BJPenn.com Radio. As always, guys, I'm your host, Jay Kinch, and we've got another great show lined up for you folks this evening. BJPenn.com Radio is live each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and we continue to bring you guys the best possible guests and best possible conversations with those guests as well. We are the fighter's voice, and as I've been telling you guys the past few weeks, we're all about giving these fighters and athletes a platform to speak their minds without any bias or judgment and just have real conversations with these folks. We're also the voice of you guys, the fans, and we greatly appreciate all the love and support, Penn Nation. Keep it up. Mahalo to each and every one of you. Tonight's lineup, a couple of great guests. We'll get into that in just a moment. But like I tell you guys each and every week, your home for MMA news is BJPenn.com. Bookmark us, bjpenn.com/MMA news. Keep up to date on all the latest and greatest in the sport that we all love in mixed martial arts. Hot topics, breaking news, viral videos, tons of exclusive content as well. Everything that you crave all in one place. And as I tell you guys each week, there's some really cool technique videos that are dropping on the site pretty regularly now. So awesome technique videos with some of the best athletes in the business in combat sports today. BJPenn.com. We're the largest independently owned and operated MMA news site out there today, and all of you guys make that possible, and we thank you guys for that. As I said, a few great guests, well, two rather, kicking things off. We're joined by UFC featherweight Alex the Great Volkanovski. He's fighting on the UFC Sydney card. And he was originally supposed to fight Jeremy Kennedy, but he had to pull out due to injury, and he was replaced by Humberto Bendene, I believe is how it's pronounced, his last name. He'll be replacing Kennedy, fighting Volkanovski, and we'll be catching up with him on how this timeline unfolded, when he got the news, and of course, we'll be discussing the another opportunity for Alex to fight in front of his hometown crowd. And surprisingly, it seems that he wants to come fight in the States. So you'll hear all of that here in just a few minutes. We'll also talk about Mark Hunt being removed from the card and, you know, where Alex fits into all of the, into the division, the rankings, and does a big win over Humberto put him in a position to call out a ranked opponent next. It sounds like he was campaigning for one after Jeremy had pulled out of the fight, but nonetheless, he gets to stay on the card, perform in front of his hometown fans or home fellow countrymen rather, and should have another great performance. Always a good conversation with him. We caught him early morning in the future in Australia, in between training sessions. So I know you guys will enjoy that one. And then just like we did last week, I know I've told you guys that we've been recording these interviews, but this week we'll have another live guest due to time constraints and everything working out the way it did. Closing out tonight's show, this gentleman's been in the headlines quite a bit in MMA or in the combat sports world this past week or two. You guys love him. We love him. Good friend of BJPenn.com, Uncle Creepy Ian McCall. You guys know the string of bad luck he's had. Very tough couple years for Uncle Creepy. And he was unable to get a fight. He had injuries, health issues. A ton of stuff was going wrong. His opponents would pull out with injury. He would get injured. His most recent fight that was supposed to take place, USADA had pulled him from the event. You've heard him talk about it extensively here on BJPenn.com radio. But he had announced recently that he was firing his manager, looking for his UFC release, which was granted to him. And just a couple days later, it was also announced that he'll be joining the Risen Fighting Federation, and he'll be a part of their Bantamweight Grand Prix going down December 29th and 30th, I believe. I think it's another one of those two-day Grand Prix like they did with the heavyweights earlier this year. But opportunities for him to expand on a pretty broad fan base that he already has, compete in Japan, which I know every fighter seems to have on their bucket list. I'm pretty sure he's competed in Japan before, but compete under a banner in Japan probably more than one time aside from this Grand Prix, and he'll likely also not have an exclusive contract, so there's a lot more options for him. But anyway, we'll be getting the scoop on all that, how this all unfolded for him, and what his state of the relationship is that he has with the UFC currently. You know, is that door still open or not? Of course, we'll get his prediction for the opening round, a potential fight with Kyoji Horiguchi, and a lot more. Lot to talk with Uncle Creepy about. So as I'm sure you guys can tell, I sound like shit tonight, and good old Kinch has probably come down with the flu. So forgive me now for sounding nasally and hoarse and like crap. But I've been doing the emergency and the Zicam thing, trying to beat this bad jamma. And I think I'm starting to run a fever now. But nonetheless, the show must go on. BJPenn.com radio. Let's get into some news. We'll run this Alexander Volkanovsky interview, and then hopefully we'll get Ian McCall on the line live following that. But I'm going to try to breeze through some of this news. We got fights this week in Poland. Darren Till taking on Cowboy Cerrone. Darren seems very confident going into this one. However, as we all know, guys, Donald Cerrone is a world beater when he's fighting on firing on all cylinders. Carolina Kovalevich, she's returning on this card, taking on Jody Escobel, looking to get back in the win column following two losses, most recently to Claudia Gadelha. Jan Błachowicz is on this card. He's taking on Devin Clark. And the possible show stealer, in my opinion, is the fight between Artem Lobov and Andre Feely. Both guys bring it. Andre's had some mixed success in the UFC, Artem as well, but they both bring the fight, and that should be, in my opinion, a potential to steal the show there. Also, reports have come out that Smiling Sam Alvey, he'll be cutting 35 pounds to make weight for this card, which leads us to some more news. Coincidentally, Dana White this week said that he doesn't think that more divisions is the answer to the weight cutting issues. I think the majority of us would probably disagree with that. I mean, ever since USADA, you've seen what's gone on here. Just taking away the IV from guys, a lot of weight cutting issues. Not to mention it's been a problem, you know, going back for the history of sports where you need to make weight. More from Dana White. He said that John Jones is the biggest waste of talent in the sport, and he thinks he'll probably be suspended for a very long time following his failed drug test. Given his accomplishments already, though, it's not really accurate, in my opinion, and I'm sure in a lot of your guys' opinions. It's really not accurate to make that statement. I do understand what he's saying. You know, Jones has all the potential in the world, and he's so gifted, and it's crazy to see him screw up all the time. But as Joe Rogan has said time and time again, you've got to be crazy to be great in the sport. So, of course, we'll be covering everything that breaks in regards to John Jones and his situation, but not really cool of Dana White to say that he's the biggest wasted talent. I mean, we'll see how it all unfolds. But nonetheless, his accomplishments already put him as the greatest of all time, and it's very hard to argue that, aside from the man who won a couple weeks ago, of course, Demetrius Johnson. UFC Fresno gets a couple more fights announced. Brian Caraway taking on Luke Sanders, and Aljamain Sterling versus Hani Yahya. Pretty dope card so far, and Aljamain had been posting today that he wants to see how good Hani Yahya's jiu-jitsu really is. Let's see if he's willing to test that, but nonetheless, be a great fight on a great card headed up by Cub Swanson and Brian Ortega. Patrick Cummins forced out of his UFC 217 bout with a nasty staph infection. Of course, that's on the site, bjpenn.com/MMA news. And despite that, his opponent, Corey Anderson, still wants him to fight, saying, get it taken care of and let's fight. You might be asking a little too much there, Corey. But sad to see Patrick have to pull out, but the guy's a competitor. He's a dog, and not in a bad way. He's a grinder, and he goes out there and fights, so I have no doubt he'll be back soon. This is an interesting one. Rory McDonald and Douglas Lima both would like to see some specific strikes allowed in MMA. Douglas Lima specifically said that he'd like to include all forms of elbows. I think Rory also concurred with that. But Rory specifically said he thinks headbutts should be brought back. He makes a great point in saying that stalling on the ground, it would not be as easy to do and not be as big of an issue if you brought back headbutts. But then again, guys, if headbutts were always legal, Mark Coleman would still be the champ. I maintain that. Edson Barboza says he's accepted a fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov and has told Khabib publicly to sign the contract. It would be a great fight for the division if Conor and Tony are actually going to fight next, but we'll see how that plays out. That's something Artem Lobov has said, that he believes Conor's next fight will be Tony. You heard Eddie Bravo saying it on the show last week. We'll see how it plays out. They might go with the money fight against Diaz for the trilogy, but to keep integrity for the sport and the division, you got to make Tony versus Conor. So Edson Barboza versus Khabib make a lot of sense. Excuse me. Especially considering that, you know, the majority of the rest of the top of the division is all booked up. So also, guys, Conor throws a baptism party for his son like a boss. Unbelievable photos from that. Makes most of our best parties of any of our lives look like very sad poor man parties. So Conor spending that cash he's made from that Mayweather fight. You can catch up on all this and much more on the site, Penn Nation. Everything you love from the sport you crave, bjpenn.com. We've got you covered. Like I said, as every week, plenty of stories I didn't get to. And you can get all of it in depth on the site right now. Make sure you go there, bookmark us, bjpenn.com/MMA news. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Instagram. and stay up to date, get all the breaking news, and support a great cause, which is us bringing you that great news and breaking news. So, again, Penn Nation, big mahalo to you guys for all the love and support. That's about enough of me. Let's jump into things here. Coming up next, as I said, our first guest, Alexander Volkanovsky. Spoke to him a couple days ago before I sounded so terribly sick, so I might sound a little better. But nonetheless, great conversation. You'll hear him break down the timeline of events that has taken place for him to go from no opponent to possibly not being on the card to being on the card. Although I believe the UFC had told him initially that they were going to find a replacement fight for him. However, there's still uncertainty when something like that gets announced. Your opponent pulls out. And luckily, there was about a month with this news. So not like you have to find somebody on 2 or 3 days' notice. But as I said, great conversation with Alex. He's a super cool guy. Just had a baby, another child, and a lot more motivation for him to fight. He's looking to get that bonus on November 19th in Sydney. And I know you guys will enjoy the convo we had. Coming up next, Alexander the Great, Volkanovsky.
All right, Penn Nation, please welcome back to the show UFC featherweight competitor, Alexander the Great Volkanovsky. Thanks for joining us tonight, Alex. How is your morning so far, my man? I know you're in the future over there in Australia.
Yeah, I'm doing really good. Just ready to get a session out and, start the day. It's always good to start the day with a nice hard session.
Very good, very good. So much to discuss, man. But before we jump into things, you just had a baby in September, man. Congratulations. Happy and healthy, I hope.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, healthy. A bit more motivation for me. So that's why I needed this fight. You know, I'm starting to run out of money. So I need to get this win and get some money, and then I can buy some cool stuff, I guess.
Yeah, diapers are expensive, man.
Yeah.
So, sure. is this your first child?
No, it's my second. So I've got a two-year-old as well. She's two this weekend, actually.
Wow. So another addition to the family and another reason and motivation you have to have all the success that you can in mixed martial arts.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I've always been telling people. I do this now for my family. So I love the sport, but right now I'm doing it for a living. So that's why winning is a must. So that's why, come November 19th, I'm going to be going and getting a win, hopefully get that 50G bonus. And my style suits pretty well to the 50K bonuses. I usually go out looking for the finish. I don't want to go hurting people, but my style is to hit hard and put people to sleep. And unfortunately, that's what I need to do to get that 50G. So that's exactly what I'm going to do November 19th.
Well, I have no doubt, my friend, and congrats again. But let's waste no time. We'll jump right into it here. First things first, man, walk us through the timeline of Jeremy pulling out of the fight. When did you get the news, and what was your initial reaction?
Yeah, well, I got the news a couple of days before it got announced. So they threw a name, the new opponent out at me, and as I found out, everyone else was already out on the media anyway. But it was disappointing in a way, because obviously it's always disappointing when you've got to change your opponent. But knowing that, Jeremy, 3-0 in the UFC, he's undefeated, a prospect, and I believe, Sean had, two prospects going at it, and the winner would, really, really step forward and start taking out these ranked opponents. But, it's unfortunate for that. But in saying that, I've still got a tough guy ahead of me. So I'm just going to go out there and do my thing. I'm always the type of person that I try not, I try and look positive with everything. So, if I dwell on the negatives, it's just going to throw me off. So, I look at positives in everything I can. And, come November 19th, the same thing's going to happen. I'm going out there to win no matter what.
So, did the UFC tell you right away that they had a replacement for you? Was this all settled before they gave you the call to let you know that Jeremy was out?
Well, this is another thing. Actually, we end up finding out I found out on Twitter that Jeremy got injured. And this was before I even knew. So we're like, oh, wait, we better wait and see if that's confirmed. And we end up getting told it was confirmed. And, we're going to try and push for a top a name or, you know, a ranked opponent if we could, but, you know, Sean Tribe, then he threw this man at us, and we're just like, all right, no worries, we'll take him out. But, you know, again, a bit unfortunate, but, you know, what can you do?
Well, ideally you were looking for a top 15 guy, but unfortunately that was not the case. But regardless, got to keep you on the card rather than have the frustrations of having a fight canceled altogether. I mean, that's got to be pretty good, right? As you said, look at the positives.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, yeah, I do this for a living. So me fighting means me making money. So at the end of the day, as long as I'm on the card, and a lot of, you know, it's local as well, so it's only an hour away from where I live. So I'm expecting a big crowd, and you know, a lot of people were getting a bit nervous when they seen that my opponent was injured. And a lot of guys, you know, they'll hit me up and going, oh, are you still on the card? I want to get tickets. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry. He'll be replaced 100%. So I'm definitely on the card.
Very good. So plenty of time to game plan for another style and skill set of opponent, right? I mean, almost a month out, that's not too big of a deal, right?
Nah, plenty of time. Usually, look, always, obviously, you're going to have game plans. You're going to sort of know people's styles. But at the end of the day, you never know who's going to come out that day you fight. You never know what their game plan was. You know, they're probably going to switch it straight up, you know, right up because of the way I fight. So you never really know. So I try and, you know, later in the, you know, the last couple of weeks, I really start working my game. But other than that, I'm just, you know, when I'm sparring, I'm doing my thing. And I won't change things up till a couple of weeks from the fight, usually. So that's when I really start to focus on my opponent and all that. So nothing changes. Definitely two different styles, completely different styles. You've got one, you know, Jeremy, a real grinder, just, you know, looking for the decision, just holds you down and really grind people out. And that's usually a really bad matchup for people. But for me, that's my world. So I believe I was a really bad matchup for Jeremy. But and then now I'm fighting a guy, you know, southpaw with a good left kick, so something completely different. But at the same time, you know, I've got my style. I'm going to go out there and do my thing either way.
So, you know, you mentioned difference in styles there and how that could potentially make for a better fight for you, a better opportunity to get that 50K bonus. Where do you think he's most dangerous, and what kind of a fight are you expecting him to bring come November 19th?
It's, you know, pretty obvious with what he wants to do. You know, he really likes that left kick, southpaw, so he likes to use that. You know, he lands it. He's a debut fight, got a nice quick knockout, got a good body kick, and went to throw a head kick, and the guy shot, you know, pretty, you know, the wrong sort of takedown on a southpaw and got caught on the way in. But, you know, I don't make them, you know, mistakes, and I'm going to really, really put pressure on him, and, you know, I won't be surprised if he doesn't even get a chance to throw a kick.
Right. Well, as you said, you know, difference in opponent. I do think that it does lend itself to making for a more exciting fight, without a doubt here. But just to change gears for a moment, some of the biggest news coming out of this card was the UFC's decision to remove Mark Hunt. Give us your thoughts on that situation and the UFC's ultimate decision to remove Mark from the card.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Obviously, Mark Hunt's unreal fighter, so he's always good to watch. So that's disappointing in itself. But not just that, just he's so well known, and you know, so you know, everyone will be tuning in to watch Mark Hunt usually fight. So to be on the same card as someone like that, it's very disappointing that he's been pulled. But at the same time, Vadum's coming in, former champ, very well known as well. So someone I haven't watched live, so I guess I get to watch him live at the same time. But you know, I look up to Mark. With everything, you know, that he's doing, you know, I'm with him sort of 100%. But I do see it from the UFC side of things as well. You know, saying things about, you know, concussions and things like that. And then, you know, I can see both ways, definitely. So I'm not really taking sides. But, yeah, disappointing in not having him on the card. But at the same time, I'm still going to go out there and do my thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was kind of going to be my next question, you know, in regards to how the media is treating this. It seems like everybody's kind of saying that Mark shot himself in the foot here. Would you agree with that, or do you think this is just one of those instances where shouldn't have said that, the UFC had to make a move, and so they did?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much exactly what it is, you know. Saying one thing and it being, like, the total truth, you know what I mean? Like, when you have an interview, you can throw sort of anything out there. You know, it doesn't really mean that that's exactly what's sort of happening, but at the same time, you can see that you know they wanted to look into it because of all these. It could look really bad in the UFC if something was to happen to him, and then they'll be like, wait a second, he's telling people, So obviously, it's something that sort of needed to be done. But at the same time, you can see why Mark would be pretty disappointed, especially knowing that Verdum's replacing him, where, he originally wanted to fight Verdum on this card, and Verdum didn't want it, and he thought he was going to fight Lewis, and Mark Hunt was blowing up about that. And then now he's getting replaced by Verdum, so you can see why he's pissed about that.
Yeah, he was infuriated. definitely not a good situation for him. But, regardless, shame to see Hunt sidelined, and I'm sure all the Aussie fans aren't happy about it at all, but all the more reason for you to go out there and put on a great show, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. More chance of a 50K bonus as well, maybe.
Right?
He likes a good knockout, but he might have took that away from me.
Very true, very true. We know when he fights, it usually ends with the finish. So this will be your third fight in the UFC. And you've been climbing the ranks here slowly but surely. Does a dominant victory here, regardless over the replacement and change of opponent, does a dominant victory here put you in a position to get a top 20, top 15 guy, in your opinion?
Yeah, I reckon it definitely does. Sean knows that's what we're pushing for, and I believe he'll be on board, but you never know until the next opponent's up. But I want to come over there and fight over there, put a show on you guys over there in the States. So hopefully I get a nice knockout 50K bonus, and then I'm back into it early next year, and hopefully on a card over there.
What would you hear fighters talk about Las Vegas, Madison Square Garden. I'd imagine those are two venues that you'd really love to compete in.
Oh, definitely, 100%. That'd be unreal.
For sure. Well, I certainly hope that happens. So it sounds like if you're injury free, you would like to turn around and come back early 2018.
Yeah, I want to fight regularly. As I always say, I want to fight as regularly as I can. So, if I'll fight, before the end of the year, if I could, I'll take it on. Again, I'm doing this for a living. I need to make that money, so I want to make it quick.
Yeah, for sure. Two kids to worry about now, my friend. So, this will also be your second fight at featherweight in the UFC. Give us your thoughts on the division and the title fight between Max and Frankie. Who are you picking in that one?
Yeah, that's an interesting fight. I actually talked to someone about it just the other day. And man, Frankie's a hard matchup for anyone. That's a thing. I really like his style. I believe it's similar to mine, where he's got really good pressure and he really mixes it up. Combos and really gets people worried about what he's doing rather than what they're doing, which is I'm a big fan of that sort of stuff. So I think he could be a tougher matchup for Max, but at the same time, Max is bloody so durable. And he's fit, and I just think he might take it in the later rounds, but I think Frankie can do it. I think he can do enough in the first few rounds to take a decision.
Yeah, it has barn burner written all over it, and definitely a toss-up in my opinion. I mean, as you said, Frankie has all the tools and the experience to do it, but Max has been on such a tear. Be very interesting to see how that all plays out. But featherweight division is full of killers. It's always been a shark tank, or at least for the past few years. Assuming that you get that top 20, top 15 opponent, I mean, is there anybody in mind for you that would really spark your interest or be something that you'd be really excited or a style or something like that you'd be really excited to compete against?
One of the bad boys. As I said, after my last fight, I want to take out these bad boys. I pride myself for being a good guy, you know what I mean? So, and you hear all these people doing all the trash talking and all the calling out, and I'm like, all right, I won't call you out, but feel free to call me out. Any of them bad boys in the top 15, I'd love to, put a beating on them.
Yeah, I know. We've discussed that last time, the good guy thing and trying to go after all of the trash talkers in the division. But it seems to be endless, man. I mean, day by day, you see more and more guys trying to get on that trash talk bandwagon that we've seen Conor McGregor master. And some are doing well, others are failing miserably. I mean, give us your thoughts on the whole migration toward that way of getting fights, and do you think you'll be able to do the things that you want to do in the sport without having to talk trash?
Well, look, talking trash, you know, is one thing. So if someone's like I try and tell people, yeah, I'm a nice guy, but I'm going to get defensive. So if someone wants to start throwing out insults at me, don't worry, I'll be throwing something back, that's for sure. But but it's just, yeah, as you said, the people that are just, I believe they're trying way too hard, and sometimes, like you said, they fail miserably. It's embarrassing, I believe. So, you know, as I said, no one's really playing the good guy. So these guys can play the bad guy, I'll be the good guy, and I'll be that the superhero that everyone wants, maybe.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's an angle that not everybody's taken. I mean, you see protagonist, antagonist, you know, that's a story we're all very familiar with, and not a lot of guys are trying to take the good guy angle, so you might be onto something here. Hopefully more guys follow
exactly
in your footsteps.
Yeah, they're exactly right, but you know, once I start winning, they're going to have no choice but to take that fight, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I might have to, you know, throw little things at people so they could bite and let them carry on. But,
yeah.
You know, at the same time, you know, I'm sure I might have to start calling someone out because I don't want to, you know, I want these big guys. So if I start getting into them, maybe they'll bite back and then maybe something can happen out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's certainly shifted to, you know, you are so in control of your own destiny here and using that time on the microphone wisely. But at the same time, it's very refreshing to see a guy with your angle, my friend. But listen, you've been more than generous with your time. I know you'd like to get back to working out here. Always appreciated. Just a couple more questions here for you. What new wrinkles of your game are you looking to showcase in this fight on November 19th?
Well, I believe I'm very, very well-rounded. So, but I'm still new to the sport. People don't realize how, you know, I've only been doing this for 5-6 years. So I remember I just seen a memory on my Facebook actually, and it came up, and my first amateur fight was only 5 years ago, and I only started training a few months before that. So you know what I mean? And I believe I'm already very well rounded, but and I put it together pretty well. But obviously with experience and that more time, I'm going to put it together. So I'm starting to really understand the game right now, and I'm going to be throwing things that, you know, people just won't be able to handle. So that's more like, you know, obviously I've always been able to sort of hit hard. You know, I've always been able to submit people and, you know, things like that, but it's putting things together. So, you know, working to something. So, you know, we've, you know, a shot into, you know, punches and then, you know, getting a KO off that rather than just, you know, these big overhand rights, which I was a fan of and I've been throwing my whole career pretty much, but now really setting things up. It's more about being able to set things up and understanding the game. And so then basic punches really work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's definitely something that we're seeing take place for you fight by fight, the evolution of your game, and it's always awesome to see a fighter evolve and progress forward in martial arts. But I know we talked about this before with your athleticism coming from rugby. How was that transitioning into the gym for you? I mean, do you notice physically that you are maybe a higher caliber athlete than a lot of guys that try to walk into MMA?
Yeah, I think I've always been a lot. I used to wrestle when I was younger too. So I played soccer, I wrestled, played rugby league, and now I fight at MMA. I've even had a boxing match. So I've done it all. And so I've always had you know, a bit of talent when it comes to, like, even when I played rugby league. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but I used to do pretty well at that as well. So people thought I was mad when I took the decision to do MMA. But you know what? Definitely, the strength is one of my main things. I've always been pretty strong, whether that was through genetics, I don't know, but I've just always been, you know, strong. So, you know, my father and brothers, everyone in my family's been really strong. So that's something that I've always used and used well, and it's, yeah, really showing off in the fights, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's been really cool to watch so far, and you're, as far as I know, you're the first of your kind to walk away from a big sport like that that's very popular in your home country and have success in mixed martial arts. So I certainly hope that the future is very bright for you. I have no doubt it will be. But in conclusion, man, why do all the MMA fans, all the Aussie fans, international fans, why does everybody need to make sure that they tune in on November 19th to watch you compete?
I'm going to be going for that knockout like I always do. I'm finishing that fight 100%. And I'm starting to throw some pretty creative stuff out of there. So stay tuned and see what else I throw in there come November 19th.
All right, my man. We're certainly looking forward to the fight. Always appreciate the time, and hopefully we get to have you on again soon after a big win. Any shout-outs you'd like to get in before we let you go?
Shout-out to all my supporters. The supporters have been unreal, so just a quick shout-out to them. And I'll get a quick shout-out to Southern Cross Industries, my major sponsor. Couldn't have done it without them, so I'll give them a little shout-out too.
All right, very good. Again, looking forward to the fight, man, and all the future has in store for you. Hope you get that big knockout on November 19th, and we can catch up after a huge win. Have a wonderful morning over there across the globe, my friend.
Sounds good, James. Thanks for that.
All right. You have a good day, bud.
Yeah. Sorry about that, man. Bloody, I'm on the on the highway. Hopefully, I answer the questions all right, because I bloody bear here myself.
No, man. No. This is a good interview, my friend. We ran about 20 minutes. That's exactly what I was looking for. So, all was well, my man. Is there anything you think we missed or
no
you
worries.
Wanted to cover?
Pardon?
Was there anything you think
Sorry,
we missed
that?
Or you wanted to cover personally?
No, I think that was fine, as long as you're happy.
Yeah, for sure,
I was just there because I didn't really think, because I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'll go to the gym, and then I remember that I get no reception inside, so I had to be outside next to the bloody freeway. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, I couldn't hear any cars, and luckily we didn't have anybody honking at you, so.
All right, no worries, man. Good.
All right, my man, thank you again, and have a great day, bro.
Thanks, James.
All right.
All right, Penn Nation, there you have it. Alexander the Great Volkanovsky. I'm just realizing he thought my name was James. Gonna have to clear that one up. Forgive the audio on that one. It was a bit of a, you know, as he said, he was outside. But I noticed, for me personally, calling international fighters, sometimes the connection isn't the greatest, so... but nonetheless, great conversation with him. Congrats to him again on having a second child, and definitely looking forward to the fight on November 19th against Humberto Bendene. Anyway, as he said there, with Mark Hunt off of the card, only gives him a bigger opportunity to go out there and get a knockout bonus or performance of the night bonus. Because like he said, as we all know, when Mark Hunt fights, it's almost always a finish, whether it be him or his opponent. So pretty stacked card. If you take a look at it, it's a good card. Obviously, a lot of Aussie talent on that card, but some very good matchups. Should be a great event. And again, big thank you to Alex for coming on the show. So hopefully, guys, we're going to be live here with Ian McCall in just a couple minutes. As I've said, we try to get away from the live interviews because we've run into problems with this in regards to time zone differences and things of that nature. So hoping we're all good on this one. We'll run a little intermission music for you guys. I'm going to try to get Uncle Creepy on the line right now. And hopefully I'll be back coming up next with Uncle Creepy, Ian McCall. This is BJPenn.com Radio. I'm your host, Kinch. We are the Fighter's Voice. Be right back with Uncle Creepy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, Penn Nation, please welcome back to the show one of MMA's most loved personalities, Uncle Creepy himself, Ian McCall. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to join us tonight, my man. Currently in California, I presume?
No problem. Yeah, I am in I got home this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. No, I got home yesterday, but then I woke up and trained this morning. Holy shit. I've been here for the whole day. But yeah, back in California, finally. It's been such a mess. Like, flying out there and only staying for 29 and a half hours, and then and flying home was taxing, but, you know, worth it.
Yeah, I can only imagine the jet lag of doing something with a quick turnaround like that to come right back. It's got to be insane. But
well,
obviously,
they talked about it there. Earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were going to try for a last minute flight so I could actually make it to the fights. And they were going to announce it there, but then we just couldn't pull it off. So I just flew out for the press conference instead.
Yeah, well, obviously the stuff with Rizin, a lot to discuss with you. But first, I wanted to ask about your health, man. You know, last time we had you on the show, when we had spoke, things were not looking so good for you in regards to your general health, not to mention your career as an athlete. How were things going for you in that regard, and did you get to the bottom of all that stuff?
Yeah, we finally turned that stuff around and figured it out. It was a year-long just craziness of being in and out of the hospital. I went to the hospital, I think, six times. I could have gone probably eight times. And finally, the very last doctor, the 10th doctor that I saw, not even a specialist, but it was an ER doctor down in San Diego, and he figured it out. The funny thing was I was actually flying out to a corporate gig for a corporate job interview that, me and my wife had together. We will end up working, hopefully. If this company works out, we'll end up working for this company no matter what. You know, they're offering both of us great salaries and benefits and stuff. And, I'll be kind of running a West Coast operation, so I'll still be able to train every day and probably still fight. But I was on my way to the airport, and I just, when we got to San Diego, I told him, like, you got to take me to the hospital. This isn't working. Like, we'll fly out tomorrow or whenever I get better. So we did that, and then the doctor explained it, what it is, gave me my medicine. I took a month's worth of antibiotics. I had something called H. pylori, which is a stress-related bacteria that's in your stomach, which I don't know how that works. But
holy crap,
I was
stress-related,
so
huh?
Yeah, I was so stressed out for the last, you know, couple of years, 5 years realistically, that my body, you know, turned on itself. My body created something that was really bad, which, you know, I can't even explain how good it feels to be away and just not be under the stressful UFC thumb. As much as I appreciate the UFC, it is stressful working for them.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And it's crazy to hear that it was a stress-related issue that caused all of this for you. And that's perfectly segues into my question here. You know, before we discuss everything with Rizin, I wanted to talk about the release from the UFC. You know, the news broke a little over a week ago that you had fired your manager, requested your release from the company. Soon thereafter, that was granted. Walk us through that timeline of negotiations with the UFC and how it all played out.
Well, it was more or less just me playing a game. You know, just kind of, I'm at the point, at the age where I'm either going to make a lot of money doing this or I'm going to quit. Because, like I just told you, I have, you know, I can get a good job if I really want to. You know, like,
yeah,
if I'm really,
yeah,
really going to look for it. I have a job. I work for a cannabis brand. I help with marketing and advertising and some sales stuff. And it's, you know, I can do other things, but so I just kind of wanted to play a game and see what I was worth, see if this sport was still worth doing. And I said I need to make six figures, so give me 50 and 50. You know, and I understand why UFC wouldn't do that. For everything that we've gone through together in my career, how shitty it's been, I understand why they wouldn't give it to me. So I said, okay, well, then I want my release, please. And they gave it to me. So right when that news hit, I gave it probably 24 hours. Well, we gave it like 5 days, I think, till after we even announced it. I was, you know, I knew I got my official release on the Monday, but they granted me release the week before. And I put the info out there, and Ryzen hit me up and made me an offer that, you know, I asked for 6 figures in one night. They gave me a chance to make, you know, I'm sure I can make over a couple hundred grand for this one.
Yeah, very good to hear. I know that this boiled down to financials, and I'm honestly surprised, though, you know, given your following and all that you've got going on and the following you have in the MMA community, I'm surprised that the UFC wasn't willing to try to work something out with you. I mean, did they throw a number at you that was maybe appealing, or?
No, they threw a low number at me. So I said, you know, okay, that's fine. You know, I understand where they're coming from. We have not had the best working relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, that's just how it is. I can't be mad at them.
So now that it's all said and done, it's safe to say there's no bad blood between you and the company?
No, not at all. I mean, I talked to Dana and Jeff and, you know, I just talked to everybody, you know, said goodbye. Thank you. You know, they have done good for me. I mean, the only thing that they do, but which is what they do with everybody, is they pay like shit. That's all. You know, everyone knows that they underpay everybody. You know, I think that they could add a zero to everyone's paychecks, and you'd be just fine. I'm pretty sure we got the numbers, and they just added a zero to everyone's contracts that wasn't Conor McGregor or whatever. You know, because he already makes a lot, or he would make more, you know, obviously, but I guarantee they wouldn't even be at 45 or 50% of what they make every year. And I know this year they're not doing so hot, which, you know, that sucks. You know, they just spent all that fucking money on it, but that's business. You know, me getting my release, that was a business choice. That was a business decision. That's what it came down to was is this business good enough for me? And I said, Ryzen, you know, like I said, they made me a really good offer, and I'm happy. Now I'm for once in a very long time, for once in a couple of years, I'm excited about fighting. I'm actually excited. I get to do something I've never done before. You know, I get to go to Japan and fight in a tournament. I've never been able to do that. I get to fight three times in two nights. That's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I'm legitimately, like, really giddy and excited about it.
Well, it's good and refreshing to hear that as a fan of yours, and I know all of your fans out there are definitely thinking the same thing. But I agree with you 100%, man. For a guy to go out there, even the guys on the undercard, no matter how much notoriety they have or not, to make 12-12 seems really, really ridiculous at this stage of the game. So I agree with you there 100%. For sure.
It's sad, and I won't do it anymore. I just said, okay, you know what, I'm not going to fight for anything less than a chance at making $100,000 or at least 6 figures in a night. Otherwise, it's not worth it for me. And,
yeah,
you know, it's how it goes. And I figured out the brain, you know, I just was going through a really bad depression. You know, people are like, well, what about all your head stuff? I'm like, I don't have any head trauma. I've never been knocked out from a punch or kick. You know, I've been knocked so many multiple times, of course. But, you know, that's – I've never actually been knocked out from a punch or kick. It's always – I've hit my head. I hit snowboarding once and put myself in the hospital for a few days. I was asleep for a few days. But besides that, I can't really think of any other times where I've hit, you know, I've put myself completely unconscious.
Yeah, not to mention you've always been competitive.
I did kill myself via drug overdose. That's not always not good for you. I don't know how much brain damage I got from that. But you know, for a while there, I was scared. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was a brain thing. The UFC put me in. The UFC had me do that transcranial magnetic stimulation. And I went and did it, and they told me, they go, you know, you might have a little bit of an emotional episode at about the 2 week mark. And I was like, oh, okay, like, yeah, it's not a big deal. And I had a full blown emotional breakdown. Like, I lost it.
Really?
I completely lost my, I lost my shit so bad. I was on the, like, literally in fetal position on the floor crying.
My God, did they say that this is common for everybody that does that?
No. No, I had an extra bad, an adverse reaction. So I was like, you know what, thank you. Because I know it's like $500 or $300 a session. And they gave it to me for free. So we tried, you know, but it that was not, because that was not fun. But, you know, we got to, now that I have my stomach, I can go train and I'm happy again. It's just the fact that my body had turned on me and I didn't know why. For the last year, it ruined my life, you know, so once you fix that,
and that's what,
you feel a little bit better after that.
Yeah, and that's what matters most, man, that you're happy, healthy, and looking forward to competing again. I know that the last time we spoke, man, it did not sound that way at all. I mean, you were looking at this like it was over. And now to hear that you're excited about fighting again, that's really cool, man. Really, really good to hear. But, you know, with the announcement of your release, you stated, as, you know, we just talked about here, you were looking for nothing less than 100K. You'd be open to fighting for, you know, a 50-50 contract. Very reasonable considering your following, in my opinion. But aside from Ryzen, did any other promotions make you an offer that you were maybe considering?
Russia, they had an offer, and it wasn't the ACB, it was a different one. They wanted me to fight, what's his name, the Juice Monkey. I think it was long. Yeah, you know, the flyweight that got cut for steroids from Russia. What's his fucking name?
I can't think of it. There's all those Russian names. Are I'm good with Brazilian names, man, but not good with the Russian names.
It's Ali. I can't think of his name. Anyways, they offered me exactly what UFC offered me, and I was like,
I'm sorry. He was with the UFC. Ali Bagatinov.
Bagatinov. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And they made me an offer to fight him, and then they just. They made the same offer UFC did, and I was like, did you guys not read? What? Like, I don't know. Like, you guys really not read what I just went through and what I said no to? I was like, okay. And then, now I'm going to Japan. You know, Japan was appealing for a lot of reasons. The fact that I've never fought in Japan, the tournament, the money, and just, you know, I never got to fight with pride. I never had those days. I was too young. I was, you know, I got forced to go 18, but still, I was too young and small to be fighting in pride, so I never got to. So this is kind of my chance to make my own little version of pride, you know, because they are promoting obviously flyweight or bantamweights at least. I go out there, I can really see myself walking through this tournament. I mean, Horiguchi's going to get a tough fight. We'll see who is he fighting in the first round. You know, that we don't know. So. Obviously I'll be fighting him in the semis, and then who knows about the other back of it. Who really cares? You know, he's going to be my toughest fight for sure.
Yeah, I know. I know that's the fight that everybody is most looking forward to, is the possibility of you fighting Horiguchi. That's something I wanted to get to here in a moment, but you know, it seems like the MMA community has reacted positively to this, and as you said, it's an opportunity for you to go out there and experience something different, have some fun in the sport again. And do something that is very uncommon these days, which is a Grand Prix. But I'm wondering, is this an exclusive contract for you? Are you able to compete in other promotions if you wanted to?
It's exclusive for the one fight. Well, it's one to three fights. It's just for the tournament. And once the tournament's over, he goes, on January 1st, you're a free agent.
Wow.
And
okay.
I think they keep going, well, you know, if you wanted at first, they were like, well, you know, we know you want to go back to UFC and fight. And I told him, like, listen, if you guys are already treating me awesome, and if the money's right, I don't have to go anywhere. I'll stay in Japan. I don't care. You know, I know they're always going to pay me a lot of money, and they pay you in cash. So,
right.
You know, it's pretty awesome. You know, like they're and it's I'm an old fighter. You know, I come from a long time ago. I'm the old school. You know, that's I was raised in this sport, literally. Like I've been doing this my whole life. been watching UFC since day one. And, you know, Japan's just, it's just really appealing. And I know that they want to make an American push. They want to create stars. I was sitting with Frank Shamrock at breakfast, and just, I never hung out with Frank. And, he, you know, he just dropped some knowledge on me. And I was like, wow. Like, you put things in perspective, you know? And
yeah, he's a cool guy.
And, you know, he's I think I've met him at Strikeforce or something, you know, but it was never, I never actually got time to, like, sit down and talk to him. And, you know, any new promotion hits up Frank. So he's a consultant.
Right.
You know, that's what he does. And most people don't know that, but the guy's a savvy, savvy businessman, like, really, really smart. He's been a part of a lot of cool stuff. And, you know, just to kind of pick his brain and have him kind of, you know, we went over a few things. I was like, this is going to be a good relationship. I know that.
And he was also one of the early, early voices talking about fighter pay and, you know, contracts and really looking out for yourself in that regard. But it's pretty cool that you got to pick his brain. And as you said, I mean, the opportunity to fight in Japan, do something you haven't done before, compete in a Grand Prix, all very, very cool stuff. But the opportunity here for you to broaden your fan base is there as well, too. I mean, was that at all a factor when deciding to sign with them?
Oh, of course. You know, I can go make my own – I can go make myself a star somewhere else. And I know that the UFC is never going to – they're never going to make a star out of a 125er. They're never going to go out of their way to do it. Okay, so I'm going to leave, and I'm going to make a star out of myself, and – we'll go from there, you know, and Ryzen's all in, they're all in for it, for helping me. You know, they want to do it with me. So I'm like, okay, that's what I like to hear. You know, I like to hear a company that's, you know, that has your back and that tells you they have their back, have your back, and they want to, you know, they want to work with you. They want to do cool things.
Yeah, for sure. And so far they've had plenty of success, and it has that pride feel to it. And that's something that the MMA community has been craving for many, many years. Ever since Pride, you know, ceased to exist. Yeah, right? How cool is that, dude?
So much
tremendous.
Fun. It's on the receiving end. It was going to suck, I'm sure, if that ever happens. But I've had my head kicked in before on the ground. I mean, people are always wearing combat boots for some reason, but it's a whole different story.
Right. Well, definitely a different story, but...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I grew up fighting a group of skinheads from the next town over. So there was a couple times where they catch you alone or catch you slipping and kick the shit out of you with their boots on. But that's what happens when you grow up fighting a lot.
And for some reason, skinheads always wear combat boots.
I've worn combat boots most of my life, too. But
right.
They're good for kicking the shit out of people with. You know, what can I say? Especially if someone's trying to kick the shit out of you on.
Right, steel toe does not feel good on the face, that's for sure.
Not that I recommend anyone out there to go beat up people or stop at someone with boots, but I'm saying in return, if someone is trying to do that to you, it usually pays off to come prepared.
For sure. So you're set to make this debut December 29th. Forgive me if I mispronounce this guy's name. I believe it's Manel Cape. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Manel Cape.
Okay. I know things got a little heated with you guys at the presser there. What can you tell us about what happened there and what you guys were saying back and forth to each other?
I don't know what point he was trying to get across besides him, that he's a fucking idiot. But you know, everyone came up and because of course I got the number one spot. I got the number one little drawing piece. It's, you know, we had the numbers from 1 to 7. I picked the right little ball. And so, of course, I'm going to put myself in the front. You know, I'm number one. I want everyone to know that. And then everyone would come up who picked out the lower number, the higher numbers, and they'd come and stop me and then pick a different spot. Stop at me and pick another spot. You know, try to make it dramatic and make it look, you know, they have to add that feel. It was fun. And then Dickhead comes up and, like, puts his forehead. Yeah, he comes up and, like, puts his forehead on mine. And at first, I was like, okay, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, relax, dude. Just get the fuck off me. And he kept pushing, so I just shoved him. And I was like, dude, don't fucking touch me, for one. I will hit you. I mean, I am not afraid to fucking crack you at a press conference. And, you know, they kind of separated us, and I was like, okay. Like, that was okay, sure, like, whatever, dude. I don't know. I get it. So now I sit down and everyone is asking me questions. They're asking myself and Horiguchi questions. And I'm trying to answer them, but every single time I would go to say something, he would start talking. And he's Angolan. He's from Africa, but he lives in Portugal. So he speaks Portuguese. And he doesn't speak English. And I was like, what the fuck are you trying to say to me? I'm like, do you want the microphone? I kept like giving it to him. Like, I can't understand you. I know I get what you're trying to say, but you don't, like, your shit talking doesn't affect me, son. Like, listen here, Pumbaa.
Not to mention nobody can understand you.
Dude, it didn't make any sense. He kept saying something like, I'm at the bar or something. I'm at the base. And I was like, okay. No fala Portuguese. Okay. I even took my time and I looked up everyone's record, and he has the best record of the group, 11-1. But if you look at all the guys he's fought, they are dog shit. He's fought the first couple guys. They don't have a record. They're just him. And then he's fought guys that are like, they all, pretty much all of them have losing records, except for maybe two or three of them.
Wow.
And you know.
So he's really in no position to be talking shit like that.
No, but what he did with Ursin, his last opponent was Ursin Yamamoto, which is Kid Yamamoto's nephew.
Nephew, I
and
think,
kid's
right?
Sister's, yeah, Kid's sister. That's a multi-time Olympic champion and world champion in wrestling. I mean, that family is they're Japanese, you know, royalty when it comes to fighting and you know, MMA really, you know. And I'm friends with Ensign, so which is, you know, his old stepdad. And I guess he came up to Ursin and he was like, after I knock you out, I'm going to fuck your mom. And totally was saying all this wild shit to Ursin. And I get it got in his head. And plus Ursin's he was 2-2. Now he's 2-3, obviously, cause he just lost again. But he's not the best Yamamoto, of the family. He's not a fighter like his uncle or his stepdad or his mom. His mom's a badass too. But the kid, no, he's not bad, obviously. For this Manel Cape guy to be talking that much shit and just thinking that he's the best in the world, you know, and again, no one sucks in the tournament. I'm not gonna say the guy sucks. His competition that he's fought sucks. So he's walked through everybody, which is understandable.
Yeah, I mean, iron sharpens iron, and it's one of those.
Rub, you know,
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I say you get the rub from, you know, fighting really good people.
Absolutely, and it takes that experience to further your game and so on. But in regards to skills, I mean, I know you're saying he's fighting guys that he's walking through because they're not very good competition for him, but. As far as his skill set, I mean, have you had a chance to look into him much? What do you think? How do you think he matches up against you?
He's all right. You know, I mean, he can punch. It doesn't seem like he has that much power. I mean, even when he knocked out Ursin this last week, and it was a head kick, but it landed flush and Ursin got out. You know, like if it let me kick you in the head hard with that sort of placement on my shin, we'll see what happens. If you're gonna go to fucking sleep,
get hit with a baseball bat, same thing.
And he's, you know, he's athletic, he's, you know, he's decently fast, and decently well-rounded, you know. From what I've seen, he can knock people out of the feet. I've seen him take a few shots, they're ugly, but he landed them. Again, you're doing stuff to fucking amateurs, you know. He's fighting guys at an amateur level in this country, and that's for a professional record, you know. So it's like kind of silly.
Yeah.
But you know, and it's jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know he speaks Portuguese, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that doesn't translate to the mat.
Wrong country.
Right. Same language, wrong country. But obviously, as we've talked about, the real fight that everybody wants to see is you against Kyoji Horiguchi. That fight could be next, assuming he gets past his opponent and you get past Cape here. But give us your thoughts on that fight. I mean, that's the one everybody's really looking forward to. Could be a really great matchup. What do you think of the potential of fighting him and what he brings to the table, and how do you think that fight would play out?
That's a fight I'm excited for. You know, that's got final written all over it, you know? So he's the best guy in the tournament for sure. Yeah, and I think he's the highest rated person besides myself. And I think that we match up well. You know, he's top five in the world, so he's good at everything. I think that he's obviously better on the feet than he is on the ground, but, I can definitely see us getting into on his feet. And I think if we go to the ground, we'll definitely submit him. I think that's where my chances are best, but I also, you know, I know I can knock him out as well. But we got to see what sort of damage we both take in these first fights. I mean, this is a tournament, so this has to be – we got to play this very smart. You know, we got to be really, really intelligent about how we do this, how much energy we use. I got to go out there and take out Manel Cape as fast as possible. You know, which all who knows, probably sleep him, or I'll have to take him to the ground and just submit him as fast as I can. I mean, obviously, the differences in stand up to differences in jiu-jitsu are a lot different. You know what I mean? Like at a level like we're at, so I think that
for sure
that'll again be my easiest route is just take him down and submit him, just shut him the fuck up.
Well, that was something I wanted to talk about next was going into a Grand Prix like this. I mean, you're talking about how smart you have to play, avoid the injuries, don't take too much damage. Is that going to change your preparation for this dramatically at all? Or, I mean, is it just game planning going in there and making quick work of your first opponent?
Oh, well, yeah, it's you got a game plan for the first guy. That's the main thing because that's your first fight. That's the fight that counts. You know, for as of now. But this isn't, you don't have one type of training partner for this. You got to have everybody. Now, build wise, Horiguchi and Cape are almost the same size. You know, I think that, you know, Horiguchi may be a little bigger than me, but not quite as big as Cape. But around that, I think we're all, neither of them are that much bigger than me. So that'll be pretty easy to get ready for. And then you do have that other really tall French guy on the other side of the bracket, but he's like a submission guy, I think, right? I can't think of his name.
Horiguchi?
No. The other tall black guy.
Oh. Honestly, man, quite frankly, and this is kind of shameful to admit, but I mean, it's Horiguchi yourself. And I think there's one other guy that I'm familiar with, but I mean, you and Horiguchi are definitely the well-known names in this tournament.
Yeah, of course. And that's because, you know, we were in the UFC fighting the best guys on the planet. But now, you know, I think other people will follow suit. You know, you got two of the best guys, two of the top five guys on the planet. They left, myself and him, you know, and then now Bagutinov, he left as well, right? I mean, they just offered me to fight him in Russia. So I'm guessing he's left. You know, there's people out there. There's more athletes coming up. So I think that with the publicity that Ryzen is bringing, I think we're going to start stealing more people. More people are just going to be – they're going to be over again, you know, having to deal with all the UFC stuff, and they're going to come over.
Absolutely. And as you said previously, just the promotion, really getting a push from a promotion with these lighter weight divisions is something that – isn't as common with the UFC and definitely attractive to fighters that feel like they're not getting their fair shake in this game. But I just wanted to change gears here for a moment. You know, the past few times we had you on the show, we discussed your other business ventures. You talked about it a little bit earlier, your podcast, of course. You definitely have plenty of opportunities outside of fighting, but I'd imagine you're pretty relieved at this point to be returning to MMA, at least for now, and remaining as a fighter for your primary career, right?
Oh, of course. It's all I want to do. You know, it's the one thing that I want more than anything else. You know, as far as, you know, for personal reasons, you know, like for what I want to do with my life, what I want to do for a living, you know, what makes me happy, and that's this. It's fighting is the thing. So everything else in my life is finally in order. You know, my personal life, my child isn't sick anymore. You know, everything's great. You know, I live in my own house now. So everything's cool. You know, before this sickness that I had, my whole UFC career was just bad energy. It was my whole career, my whole, you know, last 5 years have been just bad energy with Zuffa, you know, and with Zuffa and the new owners. It's just been, you know, weird, and it just hasn't worked out. And it's, I don't know what the deal is, but now I'm just
relief to be
doing this still, but having a different route, you know, making my own way.
Yeah, for sure. Change of scenery, new stars aligning for you, all very promising stuff. And I know I speak for all of us, all of the MMA community, when I say that I'm glad you'll be returning to fighting and that you're enjoying it again. That being said, man, what are your goals now that you move to this new chapter in your career? Make some good money and have some fun along the way, or?
Exactly. That's, you know, I've been the best in the world before. You know, even if Demetrius is still over in UFC, I can still fight guys that are the level of guys he's fighting. You know, maybe we can figure some out later. I don't know, but the UFC is never going to go out of the way to build a 25 star. So I'm going to go build my own star power and see. You know, I could stay with Ryzen. I don't know. You know, that's like I really wanted them to realize. Like, I don't have plans of going anywhere. If you guys make me happy, you guys treat me the way you have been treating me, then why would I go anywhere? I'm a good dog. I'm a company man, you know, and I'll always be loyal to a fault, I guess.
Well, and it's important to, you know, when doors open like that, opportunities arise. If you take them, they work out, and both parties are treating each other the way they both want to be treated, it would only make sense for you to stay there. But it's cool that these other doors are opening, more opportunity for you. And as you said, I mean, January 1st, you become a free agent. Who knows what might come up? But for now, you're looking for Ryzen to stay your home. And listen, man, you've been more than generous with your time. I just have a couple more questions here for you. Assuming you win this tournament starting December 29th, what would be next for you? I mean, are you looking that far ahead at this point? How quickly would you like to fight in the new year?
Oh man, it just depends on how much damage I take in this one, you know. But I would like to keep the ball rolling into the next Ryzen, the next event would be perfect, you know. They don't have that many shows every year, so I'd like to get on as many shows as I could. You know, if I could get three fights in a year, cool. You know, it just depends on, you know, the damage and stuff, but. I do want to fight as much as possible. I don't have that many more fights left. You know, I don't have many years left in me. So if I can pack in as much as I can over the next few years, then cool. If I win the tournament, then I'm the champ. You know, then I defend my title and Ryzen. I think the fact that the guys don't cut as much weight over there, so they're still rough. You know, relatively smaller. I'm sure. You know, after I do win this, more other people will come over, some bigger guys, but. That's fine. You know, maybe they start a 125 pound class, right? I do the next tournament is one at 125. I don't know. I'm happy that I don't have to cut that much weight to 135 because I've got to fight three times in 2 days. So I'd rather not spend all that energy cutting weight and kill myself. I can just work my ass off and diet. And I could put on a few pounds realistically. I could put on a few healthy pounds, make myself real strong, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And not to mention, I mean, if you get crowned the champion, you become a free agent on January 1st, they're going to want to keep you. So that really gives you something extra special to bring to the negotiation table, right?
Exactly. And if I'm sure, you know, when I win the tournament, my offers, you know, my fights will be for six figures, multiple six figures. I'm not stupid. I know how they pay them well, the champions and stuff. So I guarantee I could be getting, you know, a couple $100,000 a fight just as a flat payment. You know, if not, who knows more? I don't know. You know, but just to start, maybe $100, $200, who knows? Unless the UFC comes with some crazy offer, you know, where they're like, okay, well, you fight DJ for seven figures, like, then why would I go anywhere else? You know, yeah. DCU gave me a chance. You know, I don't want to just all of a sudden like, oh, well, see you. Like, I got what I wanted out of you. Like, no, that's
right.
Very cool.
Yeah, and
again,
loyalty is hard
I'm
to come by
loyalty,
these days.
You know.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I want to show that I'm, you know, I mean it when I say that I'm a loyal person.
Well, I have no doubt that the sky's the limit here. There's a lot of potential for you, and as I said numerous times over this interview, really cool stuff to see that you're excited about fighting again. Very much looking forward to all of this and all of the promotion going into it as well. Lord knows the first press conference was pretty interesting, to say the least, so I look forward to the others. But listen, man, for all the Uncle Creepy supporters out there, everybody that's supported you through all of this downtime, and now that you're finally getting back into MMA and excited for it, give us your prediction for the tournament. Tell everybody why they need to make sure that they tune in for this Bantamweight Grand Prix on December 29th.
Well, let's go back to the soccer kicks. I'm so excited. So now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to jump. I'm going to tap dance on Manel Cave's face. I'm going to jump up and down on his face heels first. He's that annoying. I'm just going to head stomp him as hard as I can. If I knee him in the face if I get the chance. And then me and Horiguchi will have a civilized, you know, fist fight, and I'll end up probably knocking him out as well. And then it's rising. I gotta make it exciting. So I'm going to, you know, I'm really going to hurt Cave, though. He needs to be hurt. He needs to be hurt really bad. So I'm going to hurt him. And then, you know, Horiguchi will he'll go out on the shield as well. And then he'll be in the finals. And I'm going to have to say that one of the Japanese guys is going to win. Maybe Ishitara? He looked like he was the strongest one. Not the skinnier guy. Not the one fighting Taha. The other Asian guy. I think it's Ishiwara. I don't know. I think I'm going to fight him in the finals.
Okay.
And, you know, of course,
and as
he's going to sleep too.
And as you said, man, the soccer kicks, knees to the head, you bring up knees to the head.
Mm-hmm.
That really lends itself to the wrestling style. I mean, you can get to that position and have some devastating results with the knees to the head. So certainly looking forward to it. Very, very exciting stuff, my man. Can't wait for December 29th. I guess in conclusion, any shout outs you'd like to get in before we let you go, man?
Yeah, shout out just to Ryzen, obviously, for hooking me up with this opportunity. Thank you very much. And to all my fans out there, you know, that just kind of gave me the thumbs up and said, you know, said good job. They hoped and they prayed or whatever, however they wanted to put it. You know, I don't believe that. I'm just putting it out there. They hope and they pray that I would get this, you know, this type of offer, and I would be fighting somewhere, and that I would be excited to do it. So I'm happy to be able to show these guys what I'm really able to do. You know, I've never been able to show my real worth in the UFC. So I'm excited to show that to the world now.
And we're all very excited for you, man. As I said, you know, the stars are aligning here. Great opportunity, and certainly looking forward to December 29th. Greatly, greatly appreciate the time, as always, Uncle Creepy. Sounds like all is right in the world of Uncle Creepy, and we're looking forward to
yes.
All the results and all the awesomeness that's on its way for you. Greatly appreciate it, and hopefully we can catch up again before the fights and before you capture that title, my man.
Sounds good, man. Just hit me up.
All right, buddy. You have a great night.
You too.
Later. All right, Penn Nation, there you have it. Uncle Creepy Ian McCall. Great conversation with him. You know, that's something I completely forgot about. Be able to kick people in the face on the ground. Soccer kicks, baby. Awesome stuff. So everything's worked out for him. Everything with the UFC's in the back burner. All of the nonsense he went through, as we talked about, the string of bad luck that is probably unrivaled in this sport. Very good to see him past all of that with a bright future ahead and some really cool fights on the horizon. Kyoji Horiguchi versus Ian McCall. That's a fight we all want to see for sure. And then like we talked about, wins the title, becomes a free agent, goes into negotiations with Ryzen, with the belt, a lot of clout following his name, big following, especially here in the States. And sky's the limit for Ian. So very happy for him. Very much looking forward to December 29th in Japan. Two-night Grand Prix. They will be crowned. There will be crowned a bantamweight champion at the end of this tournament. So there you have it, folks. BJPenn.com Radio, episode 54. Alexander Volkanovsky, Ian McCall. A couple of great conversations with these guys. We greatly appreciate both of their time. And what's crazy is that speaking with McCall, I still feel like shit, but I'm feeling a little better. Podcast, antibiotic. Anyway, listen, on behalf of all of BJPenn.com, the whole team, all the guys, we greatly appreciate you, Penn Nation. Big thanks to both of our guests tonight. Another great show in the books. Tune in next week. More of what you crave from the sport you love of mixed martial arts. BJPenn.com Radio, the fighter's voice, the voice of you guys, the fans. Mahalo, Penn Nation. Tune in next week. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Google+. Bookmark BJPenn.com/MMA News. Stay up to date. Get all the breaking news, all the viral videos, and all of the content you could ever want, all in one place. One-stop shopping, guys. BJPenn.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Jay Kinch. Tuning out. Make sure you guys tune back in next week, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll have another great show for you guys. Peace out.
Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children. liberty.
You know what? Hey, I'm going to get two verses.